Asher is what does Rashi mean where it says Vahayul Laosos. So Rashi says, quotes a Chazal, Kishah Ma'oros Lokin Simen Rohu La'olam. It's a bad sign for the world. Shenema Me'osos Hashemayim Alte Chato. Don't be afraid of the signs of the heavens. The truth, I mean, so what does that mean? Of course, to take it in a literal sense is obviously absurd. Because we know very well that the Lakias and Ma'oros eclipses are a result of natural law, astronomical phenomena. And the Gemara states clearly, in Avodah Zarah Gemara states, that Adam HaRishon, when he first saw the sun setting, he was frightened. He thought maybe it was an Onesh. And then he saw the next morning the sun came back. He said, Derech HaOlam was there. And the same thing with the waning seasons. He first was upset, and then later he realizes Derech Olam. Once he saw it was Derech Olam, he realized it's not Ashgacha, and has nothing to do with his chait. He accepted, so you see that Adam HaRishon, of primary importance, and the Gemara says in contradistinction to Adam HaRishon, the Goyim made a whole, you know, I mean, their holiday that comes out on December 25th is based on the pagan holiday of the winter solstice to celebrate the return of the sun. This is a primitive thing, I mean, as I'll say, that Adam HaRishon recognized the natural law, but the Goyim didn't. They made a whole religion out of it, and that's pure Avodah Zarah. So you see that in Yahadus, the basis of Yahadus is recognition of the natural law. If you don't recognize natural law, then you're prone to Avodah Zarah. As a matter of fact, I mean, in the Torah, immediately when the Torah gives you an account of the creation, the Torah removes any mystical association with the heavenly bodies. Constantly, in Devarim, which says, when Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Pentiso einecho l'shamayim v'ra'iso ha'shemesh v'yareach v'kochovim v'shtachaviso lam," he says, "Ashacholak adashem l'kachazon v'cholam v'shtachas kol shamayim." So it's a natural phenomena. I mean, that's the that's the basis of Yahadus. Yahadus is the only religion, the only group of people that did not have astrology is Yahadus. And it's Judaism. There's no other religion in the world. When you go back too far, I mean, every one of them always has astrology. Yeah, this is totally devoid of it. The only system that's totally devoid of it. So the you can always tell, like the Goyim, you know, when they try to imitate the Christians, try to imitate the Torah. And, you know, the Rambam says that Christianity calls the monkey religion. So monkey imitates. Says they try to make up their own. You have a Torah, we have one. But you know, an imitator who doesn't understand what he's imitating is never going to get it accurately. So you'll notice right away when their hero was born, right away they say the star was this. You see, we'll never find the Torah such a thing. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon Anavim. Doesn't mention anywhere he was born, a star or this, nothing. That's totally Torah is devoid of all this kind of primitivism. It's the most amazing thing about the Torah. And you see immediately when the Torah starts off, Yehi Maoros B'ki HaShemayim, the Torah says, what? Why? La'avdil b'ni al v'na lo'ilor. Okay? L'hor al-oretz. Practical. The Torah makes an open statement right in the beginning that these things are all creations of God in order that man should be able to function properly. So how could Rashi suddenly introduce an idea which is completely against everything that the Torah says openly? I mean, and not only that, what the Torah says, I mean, the whole philosophy of Yahadus, okay? Whole Ashkafas of Yahadus. And you say, and it doesn't make any sense. And I told you that, I told you many times, I mean, people resort today to the Kabbalists. They want to say the Ramban was a Kabbalist. Ramban was nothing, what they think. What they're talking about, Kabbalah, is primitivism. Ramban was a Chacham Gadol. And Ramban would be the first one to say that when you see something scientifically proven, that's it. There's no question about it. That's what he says about the rainbow. So in other places, many other places. I mean, any time that he says something that we know is not true, it's because he's basing himself on the science of the times, which is incorrect, and he simply couldn't know beyond his time. But anything that's proven, when you had this, you never, balateisvus, everybody, and what your eyes see, that's it. I mean, it's the whole concept of Matan Torah. So we know very well that Lakiyas HaMa'oros, eclipses, is nothing more than a natural phenomenon. There's nothing mystical about it. And anyone that believes otherwise is going against the very premise of Kol HaTorah Kula, which is that what your mind sees and understands as being correct is what you go by. So it's an impossibility. So what does it mean by Lakiyas HaMa'oros? As a matter of fact, even stranger is the pasuk that Rashi quotes from Yirmiyahu. Because what is the pasuk from Yirmiyahu? Get me Yirmiyahu. Yeah, by the way, I mean just to elaborate a little further, I mean, I just saw something very interesting recently from the Rashba. The Rashba says, you know, there was a Mashiach, so-called Mashiach in his time, you know, it was a claimed Mashiach. So he said, the Rashba said that it was unfortunate because there was a big Baal Halacha that followed that Mashiach. And the Rashba even recognized his level in halacha in one of his tshuvas, but the Rashba was very upset about it, and the Rashba said that Klal Yisrael is emes, from Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, everything is emes, and we're the descendants of people that searched and looked for emes. And our whole method is MS. And he said, and Klal Yisrael is such that even when they see things that appear like Osos and Mofsim, they're not impressed, and they're Chokeh V'Dorosh, amazing Rashba, and they're Chokeh V'Dorosh, and they do not believe things. They do not believe things, even though the things appear, in other words, have an emotional impact, they will not believe it. And he says, and they'd rather be in Golis and suffer and be so vilely all of the gullus than to believe these false kind of Mashiachim. It's an amazing Rashba. I think today, I'll get it for you. I'll show it to you. Unbelievable. And what does he bring as a raya? He brings a fantastic raya. Guidance of Rashba. He brings a raya from the Pasuk. Because it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said to God, he said, what was the first thing he said? The Heim lo ya'aminu bi. Right? That's what he said. He says, now why did Moshe Rabbeinu say that? Because he knew that even the Jews at that time are not going to accept it. Because they're chachamim and they're going to be chok evadarish. He says that was the Masorah they had from Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, and they would not accept it. This is what Rashba says. Now the Rashba was a Mekubal, because Ramban was his Rebbe. Okay, the Ramban was his Rebbe, and he was a true Mekubal. What I want to show you is that idea that they use today of Mekubal, they are talking not about Mekubal, they're talking about stupid idiocy. Mekukul is correct. That's right, go ahead.
The Kabbalah, the Ramban, has
nothing to do with it. They try to make it. They try to hang to hang their head on this thing in order to save their lives. But basically, it's a total distortion and absolute misrepresentation.
But again, at this point,
in Yirmiyahu, the pasuk Rashi quotes in Yirmiyahu is a beautiful pasuk, and he says, "Shimu es adover asher dibar Hashem aleichem beis Yisrael, kol ma Hashem." Just listen to the pasuk: "El derech hagoyim al tilmadu." Don't learn the ways of the goyim. And next, Ume Osos Hashamayim Al Techatu. Don't be afraid of the signs of the heavens. And then he continues, Ki Echatu HaGoyim Mehema. It's the Goyim are afraid of these things. It's exactly what is he saying. If anybody has a brain, I mean, you see immediately what he's saying is that this is all nonsense. And what does he say? The next pasuk, Ki Chukos HaAmim Hevelhu. Hevel. Okay? Why? Ki eitz miyar krosso masi yidei chorosh b'matzoi. Because you can see the way they do things. And they take something and then they project some kind of mystical power. Open in the pasuk. What is the pasuk telling you? Pshuto shel mikra. It's telling you the biggest danger is when you start ascribing powers to the heavens. Okay, so what Rashi quotes, when you look at the Navi, is exactly the opposite. Okay? Not that there's any powers there, but it's Hevel who. If we, you understand, Rashi is quoting that pasuk. If that pasuk would say that Yirmiyahu was saying, don't be afraid of signs of the heavens because God is going to protect you from these evils, but there really is something there, so then he would never have said, when he explains it, ki chukos amim Hevel who. Hevel means it's nonsensical. It's worthless. It's empty. You know what I mean? He would have said, no, it's not empty. They're saying something that's very true. But God is going to protect you. So exactly the opposite. It says it's absolute hevel and shtus if a person believes such a thing. It's the opposite of what Rashi says. But I'm telling you, kol ha-Torah kula is against all this kind of a thing. So we have to, what did the Chazal mean? Okay, what does Chazal mean of it? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I mean, if you take a look at the previous Rashi, he says Yehima Oros. Take a look at Rashi. He says Chaser Vavsev Al Shu Yom Me'era. It's Chaser Vav. And he says why? Because Wednesday is a bad day for the because then children die of Oscar or croup or whatever. Okay, but yeah, but I forget about that for a moment. Let's now Vahoyu Laosos. I would assume that the reason is because it's also chaser vav. You understand what I mean? Because, what? I understand, but I assume he's basing himself on the same proof he had before. He doesn't have to repeat it. Before he said chaser vav, and over here, it's also chaser vav. So he's going on the same, he doesn't have to mention it to you, because he assumes, you know, you're following along with the point, with his deduction. You know what I mean? And if you take a look at Osos, which is mentioned in Yirmiyahu, it has a vav. As above, and Osos also in Shemos as above. Okay? For instance, Shemos in Dalet Tes. Osos Eila. That's with above. Okay? And over here it's without above. I assume that's what he means, because Osos is usually with above, just like Moros. Okay? Yeah. What Rashi is saying is like this. That the reason why, let's just use Maoros and Osos, the reason why it is chaser, it means like this. He means to say like this. He means that the Maoros, the purpose, that there is a natural, the purpose of the Maoros, okay? And by the way, Ram doesn't believe that it's the purpose of the Maoros, the function of Maoros. The function of the Maoros is for man. It means to say that man is placed in a certain environment where it was already pre-programmed, the whole system of the way the universe should form itself, that man should be living in an environment where he has certain things that he needs. And part of those things are the stars, the main star that keeps the planet alive, the sun, and etc. Okay, so this is all programmed. Now, what Rashi is saying is like this. Rashi is saying that the natural law, you see, the natural law is beneficial, but the natural law also has a bad side to it. Because natural law can never be a conformity to what a person wants. A person likes to go to a beautiful place, away from the city, likes to go to the country, a beautiful place. But if a person really goes to these places, there are a lot of dangers there. You go to places that are less developed, like you go to a jungle, your life is in danger. So people say nature is beautiful. Nature really isn't that beautiful. There is great beauty in nature, but nature is also very dangerous. Okay, it's very harmful. There's a harmful aspect and there's a beneficial aspect. Man always tries to take that which is pleasurable to him and to eliminate the harmful aspect. Okay, but nature was created in a way where essentially for man on this planet he could use it essentially for his benefit. But there is also a harmful side to it, to the natural law. Okay? So what Rashi is saying is like this, basically. It's an interesting concept. Rashi saying that God gave this message to man in the very way that he created these ma'aras. Because what's more important than the ma'aras? There's nothing more important than the ma'aras. Without the sun, they're gone. So the ma'aras are the most important, the ma'aras are the most important elements in terms of this planet's existence. Okay? So Rashi is saying that that God wanted that message to be given over to man, that the ma'aras, those things which nature affords you, pleasurable, beneficial kind of things, but there's another side to it that's harmful as well. And sometimes it can be very harmful. It can be catastrophic. Man can get caught in something and suddenly he's God. That's the natural law. That's it. You don't have to recount any case. I mean, everybody knows that this is a definite possibility. In modern times, it's more remote because most people don't venture into these type of places anymore. You know, they stay, there's enough pleasure where they are. But certainly in the past, and even now, people that really, people get, lose their lives and become very harmed from nature. So nature can be catastrophic as well. So what Rashi is saying is that when God created the cycle and the system of the Ma'oros, the revolution of the planets, he especially programmed into that system what? Eclipses. Eclipses were programmed into the system, which means to say that you could have had a different system where there wouldn't be any eclipses. Okay? All right? I'm not an astronomer. But he's saying there could have been a different system where the phenomenon of eclipses would not take place. Why didn't God choose that kind of a system? Be a more perfect system. An eclipse is an imperfection because, as Maxime said, you're impeding the function of the system of the Ma'aros. You see. So Chazal say that's why the Ma'oros are lacking. Missing a vav means it's not perfect. It's not perfect. Well, not perfect because eclipse is an imperfection, and it could have been a system could have been devised by God which would eliminate eclipses, but he didn't do that. He especially programmed eclipses into the system. Why? To cause man to realize the fact, the danger, catastrophe. You see, imminent in nature, there's imminent catastrophe. That's what it means. An eclipse is a message that God gave through the Briyas HaOlam to man, that in nature, there's built in, as great as it is, but there's always built in an imminent catastrophic event that can occur to a person because of nature. Okay. So why? What was the? Why did God do that? Why should God give man such a message? Why not let man forget about that? What does he have to learn this for? Make him depressed. You want to make him happy, right? Chazal say God was Mesameach Adam Rishon. Wanted to be happy. The whole system of Yahadis really is to give a person a happy life. I mean, that's really what the objective of Yahadis is. It's the happiest life, the best life. Okay? So why did God do that? So Rashi explains. Because he wanted man to be aware that there is such a thing as Hashgacha. And with Hashgacha, a person can live in a way that the catastrophes of nature will not affect him. He can rise above the natural catastrophe through closeness to the Creator himself. Closeness to the Creator takes you past the natural law, and your existence is more real, and since your existence is more real, you are saved from the catastrophe of nature. That's why in creation and in the planetary system was programmed the eclipse. That's the message of the eclipse. That's really what the Chazal is teaching us. It means to say that do not think, two things. First of all, it teaches man, do not think that God could not have created a system in which there's no eclipse. He could have done that. And it was intentional that it was intentionally done. It was intentionally done. And how do you know it was intentionally done? What's the raya from the pasuk? The raya from the pasuk is the missing vav. That's the missing vav. The missing vav means he created the maras but lacking, in a way that they're lacking. Why? To teach man an idea that hashgacha can override the natural law. That's basically the concept. But basically that's what he's saying. The message he's saying is the same. See? Me'osos ha-shamayim al techotu ba'soschem ritzon ha-kadosh baruch hu ein atem tzrichem lidog min ha-puronos. That's what he's saying. In other words, if you do ritzon Hashem, means you're living on a higher level, then you don't have to worry about these. You don't have to worry about the catastrophe. You don't have to worry about catastrophe. That's what he means. You understand? He doesn't mean, of course, if a person does ratzon Hashem, what is he saying? If you do ratzon Hashem, you don't have to worry about punishment? Of course not. You don't have to tell me that. I didn't do anything wrong. But he means puranius. Puranius sometimes means punishment. Sometimes puranius means just an evil. An evil that happens because of nature, natural law. That's also called puranius. So that's what he's saying. That if you live according to God's will, then you are removed from the natural catastrophe. He doesn't mean you understand? It's absurd to say he means you're removed from punishment, because of course, if you do the right thing, well, there's no room for punishment. So what it means is the natural catastrophe. That's something which you can't avoid, it would seem. So that's what he's saying. That's the message of Yirmiyahu, that if he's explaining, you know, as Yirmiyahu, he says, is explaining the pasuk in Bereishis, basically saying the same thing. Saying me'osos hashamayim al techotu, meaning to say that if you live according to the true way of life, then you're removed from the natural catastrophe. Okay. The only thing that, as I said, the only thing that I can't explain is what is a raya from the pasuk, because the pasuk seems to be straight, just saying just a denial of all these kind of attributing any kind of mystical powers to the heavenly bodies. That's the overt meaning of the pasuk. So where does he see from that pasuk as well? You see the other idea. I don't know how he deduces it from the pasuk, but that's okay. That problem, I don't know the solution to that problem. The idea is clear. He's saying the same idea that we're mentioning. What do I mean? The pasuk and the thing that comes to my mind is the pasuk in Koheles, where it says that our lives kadogim, kadogim hametzudim, and you go into the net, asher yovo aleihem reshes pison. As a name, it means to say suddenly a person's taken away. Person can be striving all his life for something and become successful, suddenly dies in an airplane crash. Just at the moment, sudden death, taken away in a split second. So that's catastrophe. That's catastrophe. That's osos hashamayim. That's what we see, the emphasis, Shlomo HaMelech in that pasuk, he talks about the fact that you die in other pasukim. But that pasuk is a very special pasuk. Because, as the Rav said, the Rav one time quoted that pasuk, he says, what word do you have to underline in that pasuk? Okay? What word do you have to underline in that pasuk? Exactly, pisan. That's the answer. Sudden death, sudden catastrophe. Catastrophe comes swift and sudden. A person could feel secure, successful, finally got to where he wants to be in life, and sudden tragedy is just taken away, gone. So that's osos hashamayim. That's osos hashamayim. Osos hashamayim is pretty sudden too. The sun was shining a little short while ago, and right now it's pitch black. Very quick, you see. It means that that was created in nature to remind man about the fact that in his life, this is a reality. But there's a way a person can live a life that's above that, and that is through Hashgacha, means the way he relates to the creator of the universe behind the natural law. If the relationship is closer to God himself, then the natural law is subordinated to his existence. Okay? That's what it's saying, basically. Yeah. I mean, what Ellie's asking is that the eclipse only shows one aspect, which is the tragedy, right? The sudden tragedy. It doesn't show you the fact that the Hashgacha that the Ashgacha redeems you, so to speak. The Ashgacha can cause you to rise above it. It could, let me let your question go from there. It's a good question. But and I'm just thinking about it. Could be the Raya from Yumiyo, just going back to that. Raya from Yumiyo is because of he only mentions the Osos HaShemayim. It's true, Osos HaShemayim is an important thing in primitive man. If you study primitive man, it says that was an important thing. But that wasn't the only thing that was important. They had other kinds of things that were not Osos HaShemayim. That were the Shemayim itself. I mean, they worshipped the sun, they worshipped the moon, they worshipped the heavenly bodies, the zodiac, the constellations. So why did Yumiyo single out the Osos HaShemayim when he was trying to refute the position of the rest of the world? Okay? So it could be that's what Rashi means. That he singles out Osos because he wanted to give that other the other message as well. He shouldn't... one is that don't be taken in by the primitive nonsensical. Okay, that's all Goyim. And the second thing is by the fact that he singled out the Osos, which is a reference to the Osos in Sheshmei Bereishis, which means the eclipses, that was because he was trying to remind them of another thing, namely that they should strive to be under the Ashgacha. In other words, his message was a two-level message. First of all, he says you have to remove yourself from the primitive, and you have to recognize natural law. But then you have to recognize if that's all you're going to recognize, then you're going to still be in trouble because of sudden catastrophe. So he says, therefore, you must go one step higher and strive to be in line with the Ashgacha. You see? That's what Rashi is saying, basically. So he's saying, but one part of the message was overt, because that was his main thing. But there was a covert part of his message, which a Chacham will be able to see and direct the Chacham. But for the average person, the message was simply to remove yourself from the primitive Avodah Zarah. Okay? That I think is could be Rashi's Raya from Hanavi.
Okay.
You could say the only thing that could be demonstrated, the only thing that's possible to demonstrate is the catastrophic aspect. And it's impossible to demonstrate anything more, and the rest you have to learn Torah to know. That's possible. It's possible to say that. But I was thinking maybe you could even say a little more. You see, there's a difference when we use the term nature. We don't mean the same thing that Goyim mean when they say nature, okay? Because when Goyim say nature, they're trying to evade the term nature that's used in science is an attempt to evade a philosophical question. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Because they don't want to get into philosophy, and they don't want to talk about God, because they recognize that's philosophy. So they set up a word, nature, which means simply everything we see up to a certain point, which seems to follow a periodicity. It follows regulated. It's a periodic. Okay, you understand it? That's what they're trying to say. Basically, what they're trying to say is the way we see things without thinking about the idea of a God. Okay, they're trying to be scientific. Of course, Yohannes maintains that that's an impossibility. You can't just take one part, you can't just say, I'm just going to go this far, and that's it. The rest is... it's something you can do. If you want to create a subject, you can always take a part of reality and say, well, isolate this and I'll study it. But when you say nature, nature is really a bad term. Because in nature, you're really positing a philosophy when you're trying not to. Because the moment you say nature, what are you saying? You're saying it's not ascribable to any being. That's what you're trying to say. But now you're getting into a philosophical, you know that, I mean, does it make sense? Okay, so you really, nature is really a misnomer. It's a very bad term. It's an attempt to avoid a philosophical point, but at the same time, you're positing a certain kind of philosophy, because you're implying that these things just exist by themselves for some reason. You have no right to do that, you know? So the term is a corrupt term, but they have no choice. Out there, they have no choice. The Goyim have no choice. But we do have a choice. So what we call nature, or teva, what we call teva, what do we mean by nature when we say nature? What do we mean by nature? When we say teva, we have a word, teva? I mean, what Adam Rishi said? Derech Olam was that, Derech Olam. What do we mean by, we have the similar terms, Derech Olam, teva. I mean, what do we mean by these terms? And how is that distinguished from the term nature? Well, what's the answer? See, the word nature that they're using is really a wishful term. I wish I could talk about this without talking about philosophy, so this is the term. Okay? You really can't, because either you're going to say there's a God behind it, or you're going to say there's no God, but whatever you're going to say, you know, you're going to have to posit you're getting into a philosophical area. So you have to invent the term that somehow or other you're saying we'll use this. I don't want to get into this, okay? But unfortunately, of course, the term itself carries a lot of weight to the unanalytical mind, and most people just get taken in and say nature, as if it makes sense to say that there's just something out there. We don't have to trace this and look any further. That's it. Okay, it's not a question, not a philosophical question. All right? But what do we have? We can't say that. What is Yadus? Yadus does have an idea of nature. Chukos Hashemayim Va'aretz, the Navi says. Okay, the laws of nature. What? Causality. Well, who said that? That's Ashgach Koris. That's it. Ashgach Koris. That's the term. In other words, what we call it is Ashgach Klolius. In other words, it's also Ashgach. Right? It's also Ashgach. But it's Ashgach Klolius, which means to say that everything we see is a result of God's will, but God's will works on two frameworks. There's one will, which is for the general framework of mankind, all of mankind, the planet and the whole universe. I mean, all right, the Rambam says the rest of the universe really has nothing to do with us. Okay, I'm not going to argue with the Rambam. But the fact is, a certain part of the universe, the Rambam says, was programmed for man. The part that we live in, a small part, but it was created intentionally for man. So, what do we call that? Ashgacha Klolius. Ashgacha Klolius. But it's also Ashgacha. It's also Ashgacha. And I often say that people think that if you say Ashgacha Klolius, that means that's it, you're away from God. That's not true. That's not true. And Marshall, if a person made a beautiful garden for people to go into, to enjoy, and not for anybody in specific, but for people in general, and somebody went in there, he wouldn't owe a thank you to the person because it wasn't in specific. Absolutely not. It's general. So Ashgacha Klolius, we also are chayav in Shevach Hodah. Okay? So Ashgacha Klolius, we're part of the klal. Insofar as you're part of the klal, I mean, you're chayav. Right? People forget that because they're so egocentric that unless it's them in specific, it doesn't register. You know what I mean? They can't rise above their egocentricity. But if you can, you're chayav in Shevach Hodah. So it could be that you can answer Ellie's question. What it means is like this. By Lakiya Sama Oros, at first, it's a frightening thing because you're losing something which is essential for your existence. But then, as time goes on, like Adam Marishan saw, you see, it's only a temporary thing, and the light comes back. So what do you see from that? You see this Ashgacha Klolius that was intended to retain, you understand, your existence, to sustain your existence. So the Ashgacha Klolius brings to mind the idea one step further of Ashgacha Pratius. You see, it does reflect Ashgacha. Can't reflect, you're right, in nature you can't reflect Ashgacha Pratius, impossible. But you can reflect the generic concept, which is what? Ashgacha. Ashgacha. That idea is there. Okay, the idea of Ashgacha is there. But you can't get to Pratius, but you can get to the idea of Ashgacha. Okay. The Kuzari it's in the beginning, page 55 in the paperback edition. Okay, and it's number 76. Where he's talking about natures, all I could see is that they have misled us by these names, meaning the names like nature, and caused us to place another being on a par with God if we say that nature is wise and active. That's exactly what is done today. It's no difference. It's exactly the same thing. Speaking in their sense, we might even say possessed of intelligence. So then he says, the rabbi says, so the rabbi says, certainly, but the elements, the moon, the sun, the stars, have powers such as warming, cooling, moistening, drying, but do not merit that wisdom should be ascribed to them or be reckoned more than a function. Okay, that's exactly what he says. There is no harm calling the power which arranges matter by means of heat and cooling nature, but all intelligence must be denied it. Meaning to say that you can't look at it as a force, as a force. Okay? Yeah, but when they say nature, people, in their minds, they really start thinking, oh, it's just nature. There's some kind of a force there. That's great. Yeah, an independent kind of existence. Exactly. Exactly. Very good. Same? Mm-hmm. It's good.